Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll be preaching from the NIV in the next few weeks, and so we'll switch over in January and have the ESV Bibles for you, and we'll be preaching from the ESV. But I would like to see the context, for you to see the context in which the challenge today is brought. Let's back up to Ephesians 4:17. And if you'll notice, before the paragraph, it lists there, living as children of light. And it talks here how we as followers of Jesus Christ need to live. And that's the context in which we find ourselves with verse 26, dealing with the matter of anger. So let's begin with verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him accordance with the truth that is in Christ Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. But rather be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we might be able to apply these truths to our life. Lord, it's our choice what we will do with your word. I pray that it is, as it is taught, as it is proclaimed, that it might be clear to each one of us. I pray that you would give me strength as I proclaim your word this morning, and that you would give each one of us willing and eager hearts to change. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Uncontrolled anger is a huge problem in our society. We frequently read about road rage, sometimes to the extreme where one angry motorist will shoot and kill another motorist over a simple frustration. A Reader's Digest article in October of 2007, it gave numerous examples of parents who watched their children's sports activity. And it mentions example after example of people, parents in particular, erupting in horrible anger. In fact, in this one article, it said one father beat another father to death after a youth hockey practice. Another dad clubbed his daughter's high school softball coach to death because she had to miss a game for attending the prom and had to sit out for a little time. The article went on to list time after time after time of parents who displayed horrible fits of anger. Anger is a huge problem in society, but you know what? It's also a huge problem in the church and in the home. Many marriages, even among Christians, break up due in part to sinful anger. I've even heard pastors who use anger to intimidate and control their families and their church. I have seen fathers and mothers who abused their children through sinful anger. I see church members, I have seen them, who are angry with one another to the point of leaving the church and are angry and never reconcile with one another. If we're honest this morning, we all have to admit that we have a problem with this area of our lives. None of us are exempt. I speak today as a fellow struggler. Just when I think I've got a handle on it, it rears its ugly head in my life. When you put two sinners together in a marriage under the same roof, it lends itself to anger. And then you add children to the mix, there is a great potential for explosive situations. I know the feeling of what it means when you have wronged your children and your wife. I know the look in their eye when dad has been too harsh with them and I've had to apologize. I know that look as well on my wife's face as she looks to me and wondering, why did I just come down so hard? I had as the original title of this message today, Godly Parents Control Their Anger. I've changed it to this. Godly parents get rid of sinful anger. You see, it's not just a matter of keeping it under control or throttling it or somehow tightening up our belts and holding it inside. In fact, that's many times the problem. We need to, frankly, just get rid of it out of our lives. The underlying premise to what I'm going to say today is that we cannot do it without God's help. Have you ever sought the Lord for salvation? That's really the beginning place, having a personal trust in Jesus Christ. That's where it must be. And without that foundation, we cannot be following what God has for us in this text before us, because it is addressed to believers. We're to put off the old way of life that we felt comfortable with or just naturally, that was our default. And we need to put on the qualities that Christ told us here through the Apostle Paul. By godly parents, I mean ones who realize their need for God and have put their trust in Christ. Godly parents are not super saints who never struggle. Godly parents are ones who go to God's Word for instruction, who depend on the Holy Spirit for enablement, and are quick to go to God in prayer each day seeking His help. If I could kind of use an illustration of something that describes or shows the power of anger, it would be the illustration of fire. Under control, fire is a wonderful substance. It can warm a house, the fireplace. It can be used to cook hot dogs on a trek outside, on an outing. Or it could even signal to rescuers, if you were lost in the woods, that you needed help. But left unattended, a small fire can create disaster, devastating harm. Anger often works in the same way. Certain expressions of anger can actually be beneficial, and we'll see that in just a moment. But certain circumstances in life, and in fact, in certain circumstances in life, should make us angry. But more often than not, our anger burns brightly in our homes. Parents know all too well when they lose their temper, and then that causes the kids to lose theirs, and then we have a major problem. Out of control, anger is poisonous in the home. It destroys or can destroy all in its path. I think we get a glimpse of that in Ephesians chapter 6. We've looked several times at Ephesians 5, and we've looked at Ephesians 6, and there it makes reference to dads, especially fathers. Don't exasperate your children, or don't provoke your children to wrath. It's repeated again in Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not embitter your children or provoke them to wrath, or they will become discouraged. So in light of the context, really, we as followers of Christ, if we want to live as children of light, we need to follow the admonition before us and be putting off these things and be replacing them with Christ-honoring qualities. And so let's get into this, and we'll see some principles of dealing with sinful anger. Number one, as we look at verse 26, this is really the starting place. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. The first phrase, it says this, in your anger, do not sin. The ESV says, be angry and sin not. It's actually a command given by the Apostle Paul. And the first point is this, we need to get angry at the right things. We need to get angry at the right things. This really is taken from Psalm 4:4. It's a quote from Psalm 4:4 where David is talking to himself. He's looking at his enemies. He's seeing the distress that's caused because of his enemies. But also he's concerned because his enemies have turned their back on God and they are turning to idols. And he's angry about that. And so right there in the midst of that psalm, it's like he's talking to himself. He says, David, be angry, but do not sin. You see, so many times our anger at things that really disturb us, the way people treat one another, can really anger us, but it can turn to sinful anger if we're not careful. And here I believe it's a direction to us that we need to be angry about the right thing. There are some things, flat out, that really ought to bother us. And there, and I think sometimes we as believers, we so often can look at life around us and just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, ho-hum, and that's a problem. Because that's what the world does. They look at sin and they laugh at it, or they look at abuse that's going on around them and they just shrug their shoulders and they do nothing about it. But we as believers, we ought to get angry at abuse. We ought to get angry when sin takes place. We ought to get angry when people are mistreating one another. We ought to get angry when our children are lured into drugs and prostitution. I was angry as I was talking to this man yesterday about some of the things and some of the people that have tried to drag him into ways of living. And I was angry at that and how he was constantly being pulled back into that lifestyle. And I wish I could have been there in the path to say, no, don't go down that way. But some people like to drag others down with them. We ought to get angry when at the number of abortions that take place each year in our country, when families are torn apart by sin, that ought to make us good and angry. In fact, if we don't get angry, if we don't weep, if we don't care, something is wrong fundamentally with us inside. And so the command to us this morning is, be angry, but be careful. Don't go beyond that. Don't go into sinful anger, and we'll see that in our next point. So be angry about the right things. Second, when you get angry, you must determine whether it's sinful anger or right anger. That's not always an easy task, is it? I believe, in fact, that anger is a God-given emotion for us to take action. The problem is we often take action and that leads to sin. But when we get angry, it means there's a problem. There's something that needs to be dealt with, an issue that needs to be dealt with, a discussion that needs to take place between two parties. And it can lend itself to reconciliation if it's handled properly. But if not, it will create chaos. How do you know the difference between right anger and sinful anger? In fact, if I could kind of use an illustration as well, anger is like the warning light on a dashboard. The moment you see it go off, the best solution is to pull over and examine the problem. I got a call from Michael about a week ago, and he said, Dad, I left my lights on, and the battery went dead, and all that stuff. And so I talked to him about getting it jumped and all that stuff. So he finally got it jumped 4 or 5 days later. And then he said, Dad, there's a light, though, that's on there that says check engine. What should I do about that? I said, you ought to take heed about that. That's a pretty important gauge light that comes on. So I told him to call a friend and start checking on that. It's a warning light, and we need to do something about it. Anger is like that. When anger goes off, it ought to send a signal to us that things are not right or something needs to be dealt with. Don't just let it go. And I believe the way you can tell the difference between right anger and sinful anger, number one, appropriate anger is a response to sin or injustice. usually against someone else. We're seeing it happen, the abuse of someone, or in society as we see things that are done against God's name. That, I believe, is appropriate, right anger. But I believe sinful anger is a reaction based on our selfishness. I believe when self becomes the center, when I don't get what I want and I become angry, usually that's sinful anger. In fact, turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and it talks about there in the midst of all the conflict, and you wonder why there are wars today and all kinds of fighting among people. Well, it's because people have this matter of desires within them. And when they don't get those desires met, problems happen. Notice James 4:1. What causes fighting and quarreling among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. Therefore, you quarrel and you fight. I believe really that is the problem oftentimes with our anger. I don't get what I want. I am in a hurry and someone got in my way. That stupid driver ahead of me, he should have been going faster anyway. I'm frustrated. Oh, how could they be so insensitive to me? How could they treat me like that? Really, we find that sinful anger often has me at the center of everything. Sinful anger is a part of the old life that is to be put off. If you are angry because your feelings have been hurt, or your pride has been injured, or you've been given the position, or you've not been given the position that you hoped for, oftentimes it leads to sinful anger. So we need to learn to tell the difference. And oftentimes it's not that difficult. We know when it becomes sinful. Third, how do we deal with it? How do we deal when we recognize that we have sinful anger in the family, in our children? And by the way, when our kid explodes, we ought not to explode to match it and discipline them. Maybe we ought to take a spanking ourselves. But we need to be careful about that. Talk with them. Help them through. But here's some ideas that I think the Scripture before us tells us what to do. First of all, deal with it quickly and biblically. Deal with it quickly and biblically. Notice what it says in our text in 26b. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Yes, this could be speaking literally, get it taken care of before the end of the day, but I believe it's much broader than that because sometimes you cannot logistically handle that. You cannot settle it by the end of the day. I believe it's talking about as soon as possible, right away. If possible, yes, by the end of the day. But we need to deal with sinful anger before it festers in our heart and becomes bitterness. In fact, even Jesus dealt with this in Matthew 5. It says, if you're worshiping, you're in a worship service on a Sunday morning and all of a sudden you recognize that someone has something against you or you're at odds with your brother, get up immediately, it says, and go and get it right. Reconcile with your brother. I can tell you two ways that you should not deal with sinful anger. Number one, the first one is to clam up. This is probably the one that people think is not very harmful at all. We know the other one. You'll see that in just a moment. But by clamming up, I'll just kind of control it. I'll press it down. I'll hold it in. And I'll carry it away. But you know what? That's like a smoldering fire going on in your heart. The slow burn. You hold it in. You put a plug on it. And it's going to come out eventually in some kind of a major explosion. But anger staying inside builds up inside, and what does it do to yourself? What does it do to you? It destroys you. It will destroy you. Sometimes people will admit they have a problem with anger, but they say, I can control it. I just don't let it out. Meanwhile, the veins on their neck are popping out, and they're getting angry with everybody in their path. It's bottled up anger. That is not how the Scriptures teach us to deal with it. The second way is not the right way either, and that's to blow up. This is the bursting, volcanic anger. It blows up. And maybe that's kind of like you, that all of a sudden the clothes just start popping and, man, you're going to go take care of the problems. Take care of those people in your path. These individuals resort to raising their voice, name-calling, using profanity, throwing, hitting, kicking, or any number of these things. We destroy others. So one destroys ourselves, and the other destroys everyone else in its path. A lady once came to Billy Sunday and tried to rationalize her angry outbursts. "There's nothing wrong with losing my temper," she said. "I blow up, and then it's all over." "So does a shotgun," said Sunday, "and look at the damage it leaves behind." It's been said that your temper is the only thing that you can't get rid of by losing it. That's kind of interesting to think about. Letting your anger out in little dribbles is not good either. So any harboring of anger or any just letting it fly is not what the Word of God calls us to do. So here is the biblical way of dealing with sinful anger. Number one, admit that you have anger, sinful anger. Admit that your anger is sinful and it's a work of the flesh. Chuck Swindoll said, "I got so angry that I gave him a piece of my mind, and it was a piece that I couldn't afford to lose." And that's, you think about it. We destroy so much. We have to call it what it is like. It is anger and it is sin. Galatians 5 talks all about that. And there are numerous passages that it says, get rid of it. Deal with it. It's sinful. The Bible over and over deals with the harm that sinful anger yields. Psalm 37:8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Proverbs 14:17, a man of quick temper acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up all kinds of anger. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Proverbs 19:11, God's sense, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. A couple more. Make no friendship with a man who is given to anger, Proverbs 22 says, nor go with a wrathful man. And then Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. I believe just like pride is so dangerous to all of our lives, it's a subtle sin that really infiltrates us and causes all kinds of other problems. I believe anger is the root of a lot of other sins if we don't care for it. So first, admit that it's sin. Second, repent of your anger. Confess it to God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And what this means is say the same thing that God says about sin. I need to admit that I have a problem. I need to take responsibility. I shouldn't blame my dad for the way that he raised me. I shouldn't blame the church because they didn't do this or that. We shouldn't blame our school system because we didn't get a good enough education. We need to take responsibility. It was wrong, and to treat people with anger and deal with it right away. Number three, get rid of it. Get rid of your anger, your sinful anger. In fact, look what verse 31 says. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. You cannot baby it. You cannot say, that's just the way I am. You cannot say, no, that's who God made me to be. No, He did not. That's your sinful nature popping its ugly head out. And we need to commit that to God. You may be saying, well, how do you do that? How do you get rid of it? How do you throw it away? I believe it's by daily yielding to the Holy Spirit's control. We see that in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. In other words, be controlled. Yield to His control. Don't try to run things on your own. Yielding to His control. Just containing anger is not the final solution or even a solution. We need to take and get rid of it with God's help. Number four, replace it. Replace sinful anger with self-control and acts of kindness. Notice what it says again in verse 31. It says, get rid of it. But verse 32 says, but rather be kind and compassionate to one another and forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So rather than respond in sinful anger, we need to be kind and gracious and forgiving. Rather than blowing up, rather than clamming up, we need to deal with things in the right way that God has set out before us, in love, with the fruit of the Spirit. Someone has said, a long fuse will protect you and many others when in explosive situations. And we all know that when you get angry, it's like adding fuel, adding gasoline to the fire to make it even worse. So get rid of it and replace it with Christ's likeness, with the fruit of the Spirit. Number four. Next slide there. If you do not deal with anger in a biblical manner, you open the door to the devil. One pastor said this on this passage. What happens when you don't deal with your anger? It settles deep in your heart. It hardens like concrete. It distorts your personality. It squeezes out your joy. It oozes the smelly black gunk of unhappiness all over every part of your life. That's pretty well stated. It's just kind of gunk that stays in your heart. Sinful anger opens the door of your life to the enemy to come in and wreak havoc with you. John Calvin said this in his commentary on verse 27. Verse 27 ought to make the hair on our heads stand up. Satan is a hideous enemy who seeks to destroy and devour you like a roaring lion. If there was a lion loose in your neighborhood, I'm sure you'd lock the doors all night. Sinful anger leaves the door open to allow the lion to come inside. And so I believe it's no coincidence that verse 27 falls right on the heels if we are not handling sinful anger in our lives and dealing with it quickly, as soon as possible, right away, that we are opening ourselves up for the devil to get a foothold in our lives and just destroy us through all kinds of other sin. So I want to wrap this up. I know you're ready to go home, and I am too. But here's the final thoughts as we wrap it up. First, we need to admit that we need God in our life. Throughout this series, I've tried to emphasize that over and over again. We need God in our lives. We desperately need His help. And first of all, for salvation, but then as a believer, we need His help on a daily basis. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, and you have a problem with sinful anger, confess it to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and then reconcile with those whom you've offended. Some of you maybe need to have a long talk with your spouse. Maybe some of you need to go to your children and say, I am sorry, I have disciplined you and I treat you with sinful anger and that's inappropriate. Dad or mom are not being good examples before you. Maybe some of you need to go to a friend or to a coworker or to a church member and say, I have wronged you, I have sinned. I will do my best to not let it happen again. I believe that if we're willing to do that, to humble ourselves and admit that it is sin and make it right with those that we've hurt, I believe God will be pleased and I believe it will bring unity in our homes and in our churches. And really that's the context of what we find this instruction given in. It's talking to a local church of how we use our gifts together to encourage one another. And as we're rubbing shoulders, yes, we will offend one another. We will irritate each other and frustrate one another. But here's the way to deal with it so that we can maintain unity and keep the name of Christ where it ought to be, to lift Him up and to glorify our great God. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we desperately need You. We cry out to you for help for our homes. We know it's not easy. We all are under tremendous pressure by the world, by our jobs, by all kinds of things. But Father, that is no excuse for responding in sin and in sinful behavior. Oh, Father, may we take responsibility. May we be people of the Word. May we be responsive to your Word and be willing to put on those qualities that we need to replace sinful anger with. God, help us. We cannot do it alone. We cry out to you for help. In Christ's name, amen.